The question was, what would count, why would you excommunicate a 16-year-old or something like that if they're baptized when they're young? And then at some point, what would they have to do in order to warrant a serious excommunication, which then would lead to a rebaptism should they come back? And it would be, well, what would it be? Again, I'm trying to think about what would it be for an adult? I don't want to make a sharp divide between adults and kids. It may look different, but the principles ought to be the same. And it would be something like persistent, high-handed rebellion, which no amount of other kinds of correction seem to address. So if, as a parent, you're trying to discipline your 15 and 16-year-old and they're just continually bucking your authority, skirting your authority, hiding things, and no matter what you're doing as a parent to disciple your kid, they're continuing to rebel, then over time, you begin to see that pattern, and you ramp up the consequences just like we would in a church, right? Go with them by yourself. Bring somebody else, and then eventually you go, there's just a high-handed rebellion against God and against all parental authority here, and so this is serious enough that we would bring it before the church, and then the church would excommunicate. But it would need to take that form, and so it would, for a 16-year-old, long before, like the pastors and other people would have to get involved before there would be that decisive break, right? Mm-hmm. So it's that, again, persistent, high-handed sin that no amount of parental correction and then congregational correction or pastoral correction seems to turn aside.
And one thing, I think you're getting at a good point here in that with kids, with us, the church, the local church is an authority over our spiritual lives. Well, with kids, we help each other parent. If one of your kids are, you know, is about to jump off the balcony, I'm going to stop them. You know, we do stuff like that for each other, but if they're out of line, if they're sinning, then the authority the church has over that 6-year-old is different than the authority it has over a 26-year-old in terms of the parent is still a real source of authority in their lives. So how the correction goes when I'm so say if it's one of my kids, the correction or the rebuke, whatever it would be, it wouldn't necessarily be directly toward them. It would be with me toward them because I'm still an authority in their lives that our parents are not as because we're adults. So how am I saying that right?
No, right. So it would be like, if Jonathan's out of line, I can go Jonathan directly. There's no other additional authority involved. When you're talking about parenting and you've got a child who's baptized, there's two authorities at work. There's parental authority and there's ecclesial authority, church authority. And those have to work in tandem. And so a lot of times if you've got a strong-willed 10-year-old, well, the main way that I'm going to try to help a strong-willed 10-year-old is by helping dad, not necessarily by taking dad's place, right? And so that's where, again, we're raising the bar on expectations of what it means to be a parent. That's where the scrutiny's coming. That's where, and as we talked about this as pastors, here's one of the things that came up. It felt like if we, because we wrestle with, should we do the view that says, wait until they're, you know, 15, 16. If you go look online, you'll find an article in which I articulate that view. Some of you probably were surprised. Maybe you read that a year or so ago, 2 years ago. And I articulated the view. And it was pushback on that article that made me think, I can see different ways to work this out. When we were talking about it, we felt like scrutinizing a child as a pastor, like you bring an 8-year-old or 9-year-old, and we've got to like examine and you know, even if you're as gentle as a pastor as you can be, to an 8 and 9-year-old having to answer questions before, you know, your pastor still feels like this huge deer in headlights. And some I can imagine kids sort of flunking the test, not because they don't know the answers or because God's not at work in their life, but just because of the same reasons that some of you, if I said, hey, come up here and hold the mic and why don't you talk, go right now, you would be like, no, I'm terrified. And it has nothing to do with do you not love Jesus? It's like, not that, it's just, I don't like speaking in front of people. I get intimidated. But it's easy to scrutinize a child's faith. What's harder, and what we talked about was going to be harder, was when we see kids who are beginning to show signs of defiance and rebellion in other areas, what's hard is going to dad and saying, hey, man, I think you need to get a handle on this. I can see things, you know, it's coming out a lot. Like, confronting other parents about their parenting is like, as a pastor, one of the scariest things I can think about doing because parents already feel overwhelmed. Parents already feel like they're failing. And so to come and say, hey, I think you actually might be. That's too strong, but But to say, hey, I see something here that you need to be aware of. Can we help you figure out how to shepherd your child through this?
I think that's the key.
That's going to be harder on me than simply scrutinizing a child who doesn't. Like if I go to a dad and say, hey, I think there might be a problem, and he gets angry, that's a hard conversation. To a 10-year-old to say, we're just going to keep waiting and seeing, that feels really easy. And so it felt where do I want to put the burden of this discipleship process? It's like, I want to bear it as a pastor. I want parents to bear it as fathers and mothers. The person that I don't want to have to bear all of the complexity of figuring this out is an 8-year-old. Mm-hmm. Right? That's not where the burden should be.
One of the things you said, I mean, it's hard in one sense having a confrontational, moment with a parent. But the thing that's really compelling about it to me is coming more of, hey, can we help you here? Right. I'm thinking about, I think you can't help but think about your own experience with these things, but as a kid, very active in church growing up, I began to make some wayward decisions as a teenager, and there were a few sit-down meetings with mom and dad. They sit me down in the living room, have a talk. And I heard them and stuff like that. But if they had had, I'm just thinking back. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if they had had someone from the church with them, I think it would have got my attention. Whereas it's not just parental authority, but ecclesial authority. This is my mom and dad with the church that I'm submitted to as a member, as a baptized member. I think it would have been really effective. I mean, I don't know. I think it would have been. Right. And if anything, it would have, I think, we want to empower parents to parent their children, equip and help. And so there's the awkward kind of confrontational, hey, I think we need to talk about this. But then with that, if you can say it a different way of, hey, we want to help you with, in this issue. So I'm excited about that. And this is the long view. I don't see this happening anytime soon. But this is, as our kids grow up and they're in their teenage years, this is the sort of thing we got to plan for.